Markus Schott from the Rap Institute in Germany. How are you doing today?
Hey man, I'm very well. Thanks for asking.
It's nice to have you here with us today.
I'm happy too.
So let's go the usual way here. Let's start from the start. For everyone that maybe doesn't know you out there, who is Markus? If you need to give me a 3-minute bio before getting into the rapping business and getting yourself to Germany.
Let me start from the beginning. People know me actually because I'm brother from Gimas Brazil, a very well-known rapper. I've been helping him since kids. He was here also in the podcast and he told the stories about how he started. And pretty much all the stories he tells and he told you, I was there next to him helping somehow. I can't even remember the first time we rapped together. And I'm really happy to be here in Germany now helping Reiner and Justin. And actually, Gimas comes a lot here to help us too.
But are you the younger or the older brother?
Well, actually, I'm the younger and the more handsome one.
Oh, I won't ask you about that one. So we'll let it be.
Yeah, people often ask if we are twins, but we're not. I mean, he's a little older. And yeah, he is my first mentor in rapping. He got me the first job I ever had as a rapper in a very small company in the city next to the city we used to live. We start doing some signs and commercial graphics. But in Brazil, like a labor is not well paid. So for a lot of years, I had to do something else like teaching English classes. I went to college. I got my bachelor degrees on biomedical sciences. So I've been doing a lot of things, but usually the weekends was just to help Gimas to finish some raps. And I've been always into the industry. I've been Rap Institute translator for Portuguese for 8 years so far. And yeah, every time Justin would come to Brazil to make a workshop or something, I would be his translator. So
for everyone that maybe knows about the country Brazil, but doesn't have an idea, how big is the rapping in business in Brazil?
Well, actually, it's huge right now because Brazilians are known for their love about cars. They love cars. Okay. So the tuning area, the tuning scene is very, very big, very, very expressive. So the rapping scene is getting huge. We can see like manufacturers in Brazil developing very nice products. I believe I heard Marcelo Seuss from Altec talking here at the Rap Pod.
That's correct.
The Rap Podcast. Yeah, the scene is great, man. If you go to Cambeia, which is the Brazilian championship on car rapping, you just get amazed because it's a huge party. People like cheering and it's like a soccer match, you know? People just like... Yeah, it's incredible. And then...
You guys are good for partying, so...
Well, yeah, we're really passionate people. I'm just sorry because, like I told before, like the labor in Brazil is not well paid and the products are very expensive. And that's the biggest difference I see between Brazil and North America or Europe. You know, here I can see that products and things are quite cheap, but the labor hours... or more expensive.
Right, it's the other way around.
Yeah, in Brazil it's the opposite. So it's really hard for a car rapper to thrive in the area, you know.
What's normal? Is it a one-man shop or is it larger shops that are normal in Brazil?
Well, we have well-established rap shops in Brazil, which are great. They deliver a great job. And we also have a lot of freelancers that just travel around Brazil rapping. And it's amazing what we can do in Brazil with Oracle 651 and
yeah, that's right. That's right. Gimas was telling me about that. You guys use what people maybe in other parts of the world will never see as wrapping vinyls, as wrapping.
Exactly. Because like I told you, the materials get so expensive when they get to us. Because sometimes depending on where you are in Brazil, you can't even get these wrapping films. We just have to do our magic. We say that there is a Brazilian way to do things, and you can see it pretty well in the rapping scene.
What, for someone that doesn't know what that means, how should I interpret that?
Well, the Brazilian way to do things is like, sometimes it's not the right way to do it, but we make it happen, you know? Okay,
with passion, right?
Exactly. Like, you have to wrap a car in blue. Or do you have wrapping films and tools? No. So we do it our way and make it happen. Brazilian rappers are actually very famous because of these conditions that they have to face every day. When they get the chance to work with good materials, good tools, they really stand out.
It sounds like you guys are resourceful.
For sure, for sure.
Right? You have to make do with what you have.
Yeah, and I could see this because I told you I worked as a biomedical scientist. And when Brazilian scientists have to make a research in the medical area and they need, for example, a laser, the laser is so expensive in Brazil that first they have to build their own laser to make the experiment with the laser. So that's the kind of challenges we face. We have to create our own opportunities. We have to create our tools and then do something with them.
Explain me something, Marcos. How do you go from doing this part-time, studying, getting a bachelor's degree, and then realizing, okay, maybe I want to see where this takes me?
That's a long story, but I can tell you that I entered to this medical area to study this because I really like biology. I really like to understand how things work in our body. So I started studying this, and when I realized that I had to work in a hospital with sick people in this kind of environment, I kind of start thinking, is that really what I want for my life? After 5 years working and helping other students to find their way in their careers, I was a teacher for university and I would help them as a mentor. I was very successful. I travel around Brazil teaching and coaching these students to find their way in the profession. As any other business, after 5 years, you have to rethink the business. You have to reinvest for another cycle. And right. I was about 30 years old when I got to this point. I said, okay, I have to reinvest in this business. Is that what I really want? Because I always had this feeling that I needed this experience living abroad. It was in my bucket list. And when I realized that I wasn't so happy doing that kind of thing, and maybe I would have to live abroad after I was 40, I thought I'll try to travel a little bit. And why not rep cars in America, for example? And then I went with Jimas. I went to Jim Miller. It was awesome because you know Jim. He's a great guy. He's one of my mentors as well. I learned so much. I made so much money there. I had that passion again for my job, for my work, and things changed.
You know, one of the things I'm thinking about is, could you apply stuff that you learn as a biomedical scientist on rapping?
I wouldn't say only for rapping, but for life. That because people said, oh, are you throwing this away? All you study? And I said, no, I'm a very healthy guy. I understand about hygiene. And when I clean something, I know what is a chemical that I have to wear gloves or not. It changed me in a way that I'm way more conscious about health. When you work in the health system, actually, you work with diseases. You don't make people healthier. So I think in a way, this changed me for having a healthier life.
Do you have a way you tackle issues in a scientific way, or I'm just digging into something that's not there?
I'm really good in solving problems. And I think this is part of my graduation for sure. Because when you really study something really deep, like in a bachelor degrees or master's degree, you have to think differently. You have to make your own research. And I think this trains your brain to act different for sure.
Let me just give you an idea I had once I heard you speak now about what you've studied before. You are a scientist. You have a bachelor's degree. Right now at the moment, we'll get into it in a couple of minutes. You're working at the Rap Institute where you guys try to push the limits on things and try to come up with new ways of doing raps, effective, better ways to do it. I don't know if I'm searching for it, but it looks like there's something there. Like, you might be using that which you've learned as a scientist and in your way of studying when it comes to raps.
For sure, because I didn't tell you, but I used to have a creativity school in Brazil. After I got famous in my area about creating these new methodologies for the biomedical sciences and students. So some people reach me and say, oh, do you want to open a different school? And I say, what kind of school? I say, oh, an open school that people can create their own workshops and do something that is not there available. And I said, for sure, I'm interested. So for 2 years, I helped develop new methodologies for teaching people. In life, sometimes you do a lot of weird and different things that don't make sense, but then somehow the universe puts you somewhere that everything makes sense, you know, in a sense, you know. When I see Reiner and Justin here trying to teach people not only techniques, because here this last year I can see that they are really going deep into the science of rapping, the science of PVC, why these things happen. And we test material, we compare different materials. And I feel that, I don't know, it's getting so scientific that it turns me on in a way that I'm really happy to be part of this, you know. And then we sit around, we evaluate the data we discovered. And you can see some new videos about the rap matrix. And we go really deep on the science. And I'm pretty sure that my background in bachelor degrees, it potentializes the background that Reiner has with tool making. Because Reiner is kind of an engineer. And I learn a lot from him. I call him Rep Vinci. Yeah, because you know that Da Vinci used to make weapons. He was a doctor. He could make anatomic pictures. He could make pretty much anything. And I feel like Reiner is the closest guy that I know that can do so many things. And yeah.
That was a good one, Rep Vinci.
We're going to make a t-shirt.
I know what to call him next time I see him.
Please.
Let's pause that for a while and let's go back to, you know, in one thing that you told me before, is that you actually started working abroad, right? You started traveling, you and your brother, to Jim Miller's and Miller Dickel's in the States. There's a couple of people that might be listening that maybe live in a country that they want to get away, try their wings somewhere else, right? To all of those people that want to try their wings in another country, what process would you tip them off? What could they try to do to try to get to a different country to get new experiences, seeing that you've done it yourself?
I think first of all, you have to put your mind into it because, okay, I had my brother that had connections and I feel very lucky to be Jima's brother because since day one, I was sitting on the big boy's table, you know, so... Mm-hmm. I didn't have to knock on so many doors, which I was used to because in Brazil, you need this attitude, you know. I never sent a resume for a company. I would go to the company, knock on the door and ask, who is the boss here? Can I talk to him? You know, I always had the attitude of, okay, if I want, I have to make it. So I think this is the first thing, is having the attitude because you're going to listen to a lot of no's till you get your first yes. So you can't just say, oh, I want that. And then somebody says no and you give up. I think this is number one. Number two is, of course, invest in your network because you can get there alone, maybe faster. But with people, it's a solid thing. I created really deep relationships with everybody I work with. I feel like everybody I work for, they are my family now. If I need anything or if they need anything, they can count on each other. So... this is number two, is like treat business as a family. As family, also, sometimes you have to say no, right? So if you feel you're not in a good place, if you feel, I don't do this only for the money, of course, it's important, but I don't stay or I don't do business with people. I don't see the same values, you know?
What you're actually there saying is that don't be afraid of the no's because you sooner or later end up getting yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Invest in your network, right? Treat everyone you meet nice.
Yeah. Some people don't deserve you to be nice with them, but I mean...
most people do, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's your attitude. I don't let these kind of people interfere on how I act. I try to be honest with myself. I try to honor my qualities. I know what I have to be better at. I listen to people when they say you should do this different, you know, so... having this network and listen to them and listening to the feedback, it's really important. And I'm glad I had these mentors like Jimas, Jim, Justin, now Reiner, also Flo from here from Germany. All people that really cared about me, they gave me opportunity and also made me be a better person.
Let's say that one gets the opportunity to travel abroad. They get invited to a shop where they're going to work for a couple of months. What advice would you give coming to attitude. What attitude do you think that person needs to have when they get to the new shop?
I always look up to Jim as my brother because he always told me that I should be very professional. Doesn't matter if you are not so good in terms of technique, but if you're a professional rapper, and that means like you show up on time, you don't bitch about your job, because sometimes you want to kill yourself, like removing vinyl from a Node trailer, for example. Mm-hmm. You feel like you want to kill your boss, but I always think about, I ask for a job, I can't choose what I want to do, I'm beginning. You know, never took things personally. It's all about trying to put the mindset of a black belt. Because I'm also, I don't know if you know, but I am a jiu-jitsu black belt.
I was getting to that one, but go for it.
Yeah, so I mean, this is the mindset of a white belt, I call it. If you always think that you don't know too many things, you always are humble, you never stop learning, you know, if you follow the white belt mentality, you will get to the black belt.
So always be a beginner, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're there to learn. Can you imagine working with a guy like Jim Miller that is working for 40 years? I mean, he knows what he's doing, you know? It's an honor to be under his umbrella and help a little bit on his great history. I feel so grateful, and I gave my 110% everywhere I've been to, and I never regret. I never regret.
Let me put you on the spot there a little bit. If you were to tell me what's your biggest lesson from working with Jim and Stella over at Miller's, what would you say that is?
They have a sentence written in their shop. It says, the more I work, the luckier I get. Right. And that's pretty much what I take from them, because they said, I have a jar full of peanuts. You can take as many as you want. In the beginning, I was surprised, because the first time I went there, I went as a helper to help Jimas, because I wasn't, by that time, I never considered myself as a professional installer. I was always the second man. I was always the guy holding the material. If you remember, I told you that we used to work with materials that were not made for car wrapping. So
right.
Non-air grass. So you always need somebody to hold the material for you while the wrapper is... Yeah, right. Exactly. So I always felt like the second man. And I went there for the first time as a helper. Stayed there 40 days. It was amazing. And then I saw how much work they had there. And I said, hey, I can come back here if you want. And he said, oh, sure. Yeah. I said, yeah, I can help somebody else other than Jimas if he cannot come. And Jim said, yeah, sure, come. Then I went there by myself for the first time. The first day he said, okay, this is your van, you do it. And I said, fuck, man, what are you talking about? I came here to help you. He said, yeah, you help me if you do it. So he just threw me to the lions because he thought that I could deliver. So he believed in me when I didn't.
And how did it go?
It was horrible. Well, but it got better because, you know, they had a huge fleet. So you could do the same car over and over and get better and better. And he would point the mistakes and say, oh, here you do like this. My first van by myself there, it took me like 24 hours to make it. By the end of 5 months, I think, I was doing it in 7-8 hours. White belt mentality.
That's a good one. I was going to ask you about the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and how you apply that into rapping, but I understand you do. It's a problem. It's a solution-oriented way.
For sure. And Jiu-Jitsu kind of saved my life. I started doing Jiu-Jitsu when I was getting divorced and moving away from my son, and I was just in a bad place. And then I start training and feel that energy flowing again, and I said, I promised myself I was never going to give up on jiu-jitsu. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the strength I built over training over 10 years. So
props to you, man. So you go from working part-time over to working overseas. How did you end up in Germany?
Well, that's a crazy story as well, man, because... Jimas and I, we come from an area in Brazil which the Germans had a big play on the colonization. So there's a lot of people in the south of Brazil that have German and Italian ancestors.
Right.
And a few years ago, I think 5 years ago, we got our German documents. We got the passports because our great-grandfather was German and he came to Brazil in the early 1900s. So I had the document, but I didn't know anybody in Germany, you know. And then I was at RepsCon in 2019, and I met Michael from Yellowtooth, because Jima said, man, you have to know Michael. Michael is awesome, and he creates these wonderful tools, because we really like tools, you know. When you come from a place like Brazil that you don't, you can't have them, and then you're just at the Yellowtooth booth, you're just like a kid in a candy shop, you know.
I know how that feels.
Yeah, and then Michael took 15 minutes to talk to us, and I told him about, I'm not new into rapping, but I'm new now. I consider myself a car rapper. This is my story. And he said, yeah, come work for me. And Michael, he's really passionate about it. And I felt it was a long-term relationship. And I wasn't sure if I was going to take this relationship, because I really wanted to travel the whole world and do some freelance jobs. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I was planning to spend my second semester in America. And then I had like 4 months to do something else, somewhere else.
Right.
And then I called Michael and I said, hey, Michael, I have 4 months to go to Germany and work. I know you want somebody for the long term, but do you know anybody that could hire me for this amount of time? And he said, for sure, man, you should talk to Flo. Flo is Florian Knirsch is my first boss here in Germany. He's a great installer. He has a rep shop in Friedrichshafen in Baden-Württemberg. So I start talking to Flo after Michael connect us, and he said, yeah, you can come. Made a nice contract. I stay over his family's house, and I kind of create a new family here in Germany.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But it was really bad timing in terms of COVID. It was in the year that COVID struck.
Oh, okay.
So my plan was to stay the beginning of the year and then go to America, but everything was blocked. I couldn't go back to Brazil. I couldn't go to America. I couldn't go anywhere. I was dealing already with some Australian rep shops to go to Australia, maybe to stay for 3 months or something. I couldn't. I was really concerned about what to do. Flo asked me to stay, but it was right timing with the Rep Institute Center here. Justin and Reiner was just opening the center. It's around 2 hours away from Flo. So during the weekends when Justin was here, I would visit him because Justin is a close friend. I worked with him in Cambeia for 10 years so far now. One day I'll say, man, maybe this is my last time here in Germany. I have to go home. And he said, oh, don't you want to work here with us? I said, fuck yeah, of course I do. And then I'm here. It's been almost 2 years now. Crazy
time,
story.
Time flies.
Time flies, man. I can't see it. We work a lot here.
A lot of content out there.
Yeah, yeah. Because here I'm not rapping. My profession here is not the car rapper. Of course, I do some rapping, but I also do a lot of video production. We do live stream events. We go to trade shows. I pretty much help everything with the facilities here for trainings. And yes, sometimes eventually I get to rap something.
For someone that might be wondering, how does a regular day at Rap Institute look like?
Man, it's like a dream job, you know? Can you imagine like a 400 square meters facility made for car rep training? So we pretty much have all the tools you can imagine. We pretty much have all the materials. We have Reiner in a daily basis, which is, he's a super fun guy to hang out with. He's very inventive. Sometimes you're talking and having a coffee and talking serious business, and then he just disappears for 5 minutes. And then you think, where the fuck is Reiner? And then he just appears with a prototype of a new tool or, you know, a new idea for a solution. It's amazing, man. Sometimes I stay here till 10 p.m. and I don't even see the time flying. You know, we do so many things here. It's such a positive environment. When you see people coming for trainings here, they're not only learning how to rap, you can see that they're having a good time.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, you're invited to come here anytime you want. Just text me, with a few hours ahead, then I can buy some steaks and we can grill something.
It's just a couple of hours down from where I am.
Yeah, so. It's pretty. Well, in Europe, that's the good thing. In Europe, everything for me is close.
It's not like Brazil, yeah.
Brazil, it's like a huge continent, you know. People don't understand the size of Brazil, but to have a comparison pattern, Germany is the size of my state in Brazil. Yeah, that's the idea. And we have like 27 states, so
it's big.
It's a big country.
You guys do a lot of stuff over in FESPA, and like you said, you're over at trade shows as well. We recently had FESPA, right? FESPA 2021. I didn't have the chance to be there. So what was your intake? Because it was the first FESPA after the pandemic.
Yeah, it was the first FESPA. For me, it was my first FESPA at all. I never got the chance to go to a FESPA in Europe before. I would only go to the Brazilian FESPAs. Yeah, and in America, there are no FESPAs. I had the chance to go to RepsCon, and that's pretty much it. As a car rapper, I never been to a show to watch a show. I was always hired to be interpreter or to translate or to make the booth. So I was always involved. If somebody paid me to go, I never had the opportunity to go as, okay, let's check how this show is, you know? But my feeling about FESPA Amsterdam in 2021 was that it was way smaller than the previous years. People were not expecting so much people there. But it kind of surprised me because we got a lot of attention at our booth. We had a small booth there. We had the Rapflix lounge where people could sit down, watch some videos from the Rap Institute, eat popcorn, have some drinks. We created.
But you guys had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. We also had a Defender. So it was wrapped every day with some different materials like Inostack, Metamark. We had pretty much a lot of sponsors. We had 8 sponsors at the booth, and it was all right. But I heard that it was like, in terms of size, it was 1/3 of the regular FESPAs.
At least there was a FESPA. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I was really happy to have a booth there because it was kind of last minute, our booth and our participation there. Because Justin was, he was already had a deal to be the head judge of World Rap Masters. And Reiner stayed at the booth with Yellow Tools, with Jim. In our booth, we got Jimas Brazil, my brother, and Patrick Weiser for the demos. And also Becky from Inostack was there with us. So we had a lot of fun. We didn't have any parties because the main brands that make the huge parties for FESPA, they didn't have a booth there. So what I try to do, I'm kind of a people person. So on the second night, I think it was Wednesday, I got all the rappers that were kind of lost during the show. I put everybody on the same WhatsApp group, and then we just went for beers and joints.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Because once you are in Amsterdam, you have to smoke some weed and drink beer and just walk around the channels. It's so beautiful.
You get to live life, right?
I mean, you have to, you need the full experience. When I go to some place and they say, okay, here we do this, let's try.
That's an interesting way of seeing life. It's an a free, open way of seeing life.
Yeah, remember, it's the white belt mentality. Can you
there
imagine?
There you go. You need to have a t-shirt with that, white belt mentality.
Well, maybe when I'm older, I write a book about it. Because I really think that this changes lives, you know. It starts in your mindset, and it's not so difficult. You need discipline to achieve things. If you wait for motivation, you don't do so many things as you could.
What I do know from you is that you have an inquisitive personality, right? You look for new ways of doing things and trying out boundaries. You guys are seeing a lot of new stuff coming through the Rap Institute, right, over there in Germany. What's your take on the future of the rapping industry?
Yes, I love to see things in a different perspective. What I can feel, maybe, I don't know if it's a feeling or if it's a wish, but I think the brands are going way more to the green way to do things. You know, you're going to see way more PVC-free vinyl. There are some companies now. I met a guy in the Netherlands that only works with vinyl recycling. So it's a it's a pretty specific company that only recycles wrapping film. So I think we're going to see this more. I think we're going to see more different materials to wrap with other than PVC, because now after COVID, you can see that many companies cannot deliver anymore because there is no available PVC to make the material. The raw materials are pretty much gone. And if you think about the pollution, I think they're going greener in the next years. You can see even the cleaners that we're trying to use, the solutions that Reiner makes with Yellowtoos, they are greener than the ones we used to use a few years ago. So I think this is...
Right. We got one of the samples on that. We're going to try them out this week, I think.
Oh, you got the new ones? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a three-step, right?
Yeah, the three-step prep. It's very good material, and it saves water a lot if you think about having the spray. Another machine that really surprised me this year was the high-pressure steamer from Fortador. Fortador is a company that makes these machines with Lamborghini technology. And you have a 12-bar pressure steamer, so you can really go deep on cleaning with a minimal water. I think this is going to change the future of detailing, PPF, and anything related to cleaning surfaces.
So you said it was Fortador high-pressure steamer.
Yes, you can talk to Johan. I have his contact. He's a really super nice dude. He was with us at FISPA. He showed a few. He has like four different types of machines, like a very small one now, 7-bar, I think the smallest one is, and the biggest is 16-bar. So you can pretty much mainstream a detailing shop with one of those machines. It's pretty impressive. We're going to launch some videos soon, and we can show you.
Just a question that came up right now, we were talking. How many videos do you have in lineup for being... On the way out?
Well, I can tell you exactly how many we have today because I checked. We have 2,371 videos uploaded at our platform so far. That's a lot. Because we have the commitment to our members to post one video a day. So we have 5 videos a week. And that's been honored for a few years so far. So yeah, it's going to increase. Every day it's increasing.
So which one is the most seen of all of them?
This data, I'm not sure. I heard that the girls that really do the management on the website, they say that every time that Reiner is putting PPF in a supercar, our our viewers just get crazy. So I would say that we have a series that we did. We wrapped the Ferrari F12 Tour de France. We wrapped it with color change film, and then we wrapped over with PPF, satin PPF. And I think that series is not only great, but it's beautiful to watch. The nice thing is that I'm actually on that series is one of the few series that I'm actually wrapping. So you can see me wrapping.
Another reason for looking.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a couple of questions at you. It might be so that you are not allowed to answer to these questions. I don't know. I'm going to ask them. You tell me, right?
Okay, no problem.
Let's start easy. What's your favorite tool?
My favorite tool is the banana buffer.
Tell people about that one, please.
Well, the banana buffer is a game changer, you know, because I used to have a lot of tools to wrap when I began because you feel insecure and you want to have all the tools you can imagine in your pocket. And once I was understanding more about the car wrapping and I had so many good and bad experiences, I started noticing that I really need a few good tools to deliver a nice wrap. And even here at the Wrap Institute, sometimes we literally have all the tools here. And when Reiner and I are about to wrap, we just grab a squeegee, a fresh buffer, and a knife, and we go for it, you know? So yeah, the banana buffer for me is a game changer because I had problems on installs because of my strokes, my squeegee strokes. Because, you know, some vinyl are pressure activated to stick. And sometimes you need a lot of pressure on the vinyl. And I already scratched so many black piano roofs. And I scratched so much. Because in Brazil also, the digital prints, they have no lamination. So I really feel like squeegeeing is the easiest part of the job if you have the right buffer. Because people when you talk about, oh, I rep cars, and when you teach people, that they usually are eager to start squeegeeing, right? They don't care too much about cleaning. They don't understand too much about how to stretch the vinyl before. They really focused on the squeegeeing part. And if you don't have this buffer for that part, you're in trouble.
So besides preferred tool, what is your preferred vinyl at the moment?
My favorite vinyl to wrap right
now. At the moment, right. Hmm.
At the moment, I had a lot of fun wrapping with KPMF. We did a few videos here. It was surprisingly different because the last experience I had, it was in America, and it was really, because the colors from KPMF are beautiful. It's very difficult to get the same finish that they deliver. But 3 years ago, it was pretty difficult to wrap. Of course, I didn't have as much skills I have now, but even then I felt it was a little rough. And now the last time I used, we did some videos here for KPMF, and it was really nice. We had a lot of fun wrapping. And I'm actually starting to enjoy a lot doing PPF. And in terms of PPF...
So you made the switch then?
Well, yeah, I had to, because when you work with Reiner, you have to be ready to do pretty much anything that comes into your way. You know, Reiner can do tinting, PPF, printing, anything. And when you have a captain like him, mm-hmm. you have to be ready.
Be on your tips.
Yeah, and I started enjoying, because before I met Reiner, I couldn't understand PPF. And Reiner has a very nice way to teach you the fundamentals, the principles on wrapping. So that's what he calls the wrap matrix. It's not only a technique that you apply, it's a couple of principles that if you understand, you can wrap pretty much with any material. So once I understood, because it took me a while, you listen to something, it makes sense, but you don't fully understand it. You don't own it. And with the time, I started getting more and more attention, and I start thinking about that more, and someday it clicked and I started doing PPF. I could say not as Reiner, but pretty good. And I started having fun also, because back in the days, it was like a punishment, just putting me to do some PPF thing. It was like, oh, why me? And now I just feel like, okay, that's enjoyable. I can have fun doing this.
When it comes to colors, what's your favorite color at the moment?
Colors, I'm really, the last time I wrapped my car here, I wrapped with the new Avery silver. It was a satin silver. I'm not a big fan of silver, but that one was beautiful. I don't know if they launched it yet or if they will ever launch it. It was just a very specific color. I loved it. I would say the Urban Jungle color flow from Avery. If you have a nice car with nice curves, it's just amazing. And of course, I would go for satin finish instead of gloss.
I would almost imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Even because I think the finish, the satin finish in any material is better quality than gloss. Unfortunately, the cast films still cannot deliver a high glossy finish like a calendar film or like PPF. So satin is the way to go for me. And even for installation marks, you can't see so many defects and some small problems as you can see on glossy film. So if I can choose, I choose satin.
Noted. When it comes to projects, what project are you most proud of?
Well, this Ferrari was a very big challenge for me and Reiner. It took us like four or five days to completely wrap it and then put PPF on top. It was a very nice challenge in terms that it was a high complex car in terms of very sharp curves. So we couldn't tension so much the vinyl underneath the PPF and also the PPF on top of the vinyl. It was a challenge. We tried, for example, the bumper, we had to do like two or three times to get it right. The hood, we tried two times as well. So it was a lot of practice. It was a lot of sweat, a lot of talking and planning on how to do it. So I learned a lot, and the end result is beautiful. So that's for sure is my number one project. I'm very proud of it.
One last question for you. What would you like to wrap that you haven't gotten your hands on?
We wrapped here, Jimas and I, we did, you know, those Boston robotics?
Yeah, the dogs.
Yeah, we did one. It was awesome. Our kids also helped. Jimas and I, we have kids almost the same age. My son is 16 and Carlos, Jimas' son, is 13, 14. So they came here last time, spent 2 months with us, and they started rapping. And they were part of this project with the Boston Robotics. It was a really nice family project. We also did a series for the Rap Institute. I really wanted to see one of those robots personally, so it was very nice. I don't know. I think maybe those drones now that can take people into the cities with no pilots would be a nice project.
Let's put that one on the bucket list then.
Yeah. Well, maybe in the near future we do one.
Yeah, most probably. The way things are going, so yeah, that's probable. Marcos, I tell you what, I think I want to tell you thank you very much for taking your time. Thank you for sharing so openly. You've had quite a life, my friend.
Yeah, I feel this way, you know. I feel like I have to live till I'm 120, 130 years old to do everything that I want to. So yeah, let's keep moving.
I will probably see you before this, but I'm looking forward to a book named The White Belt Mentality in the future.
I'm going to send you a copy. Don't worry about it.
I'll meet you before that. But listen, thank you very much for taking your time. It's been a pleasure. And I hope to see you soon.
Yes.
And eating those steaks.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you very much for having me here. I'm a big fan. I love the Joffrey's, Marcelo's, and Jima's podcast. It was great. Thank you for having me here. And you're welcome to come anytime. And we have steaks, kartoffel salad, the whole nine yards.
I need to take it where I am, right? So if I'm there, I need to try it out for sure.
For sure. And then we get you some lederhose, you know, those yeah, those shorts. Yeah.
Sounds interesting. I might just take you up on that one.
Yeah. Okay, man.
All right, Michael. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.